You may know that I've been renting a house since I moved here back here in December, and so I had to get renter's insurance for that time, and they asked me, you know, how much coverage do you want? Well, I had no idea. And so I just took the minimum amount of coverage because I figured, really, if something happens to the house, most of the things that I would really, really miss would be things that wouldn't be covered by insurance and couldn't be replaced anyway. It made me think about that question that we've asked so many times in our culture. If your house was on fire, what three things or what two things or what one thing would you grab at the last moment to be sure that you saved it? Most people, I think, speak of something that is sentimental in value. They don't think of their favorite DVD or, you know, their favorite material thing. They think of, oh, what about those pictures I have? What about that certificate I have? What about that drawing that my child did in kindergarten that means so much to me? For me, it would be photographs. The ones way before the digital age, the ones that show moments in my life that are so precious to me. I have one of my mom laughing so hard she has tears streaming down her face. I have another one of my dad with me and my siblings in the backyard. I have another one that is my sister with her three boys. And one, of course, the one that I now use as my Facebook profile picture, which is me and my brother standing there with a pony, probably 45 years ago or longer. Those are the things I would grab first. And photos are things, but really they represent time in a way. Photographs like that, that are valuable to us because of what we remember through them, they are moments. They're not acquisitions. They're not possessions. They are memos of times spent together, not of things we bought. The photos we would try to save would not be of a favorite possession, but of a favorite moment captured and remembered. I have come to believe that sanctifying time in that type of way, sanctifying time is the best way to know God, the best way to glorify God. Since I've been a priest, I've had a lot of people in both of my jobs tell me, well, I hate to bother you, but I want to talk to you about something. And that worries me because this is what I'm in this business to do. Is to be with people, is to spend time with people. Because when I spend time with other people, whether I'm an ordained person or not, I am sanctifying that time to God's glory. I best glorify God when I am with you in your celebrations and in your sufferings. We all best glorify God when we spend time together, when we give time to others, when we sanctify time. In our gospel today, Jesus speaks indirectly of the sanctification of time when he speaks of the gift of eternal life. The definition, according to some sources and one I agree with, of eternal life is to know God as he really is and all that flows from that knowledge. It is to see in God and imitate the sanctification of time. We do that with such virtues as unselfishness, generosity, patience, and humility. Imitating God means a new way of measuring success, letting go of the language of accomplishment with regard to the measuring of our lives. If we value time, if we think about eternal life, we ask the question, how should the time in our lives be used? How can we sanctify time and thus glorify God? Last week I mentioned a book called The Sabbath by Abraham Heschel, and I'm still reading it. It's wonderful, and it talks about this idea of the sanctification of time, especially in the Jewish tradition. Heschel points out, what was the first holy object in the history of the world? He says, was it a mountain? Was it an altar? And then he quotes a line from Genesis that says, and God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. In the creation story, God looked at each thing he created and said it was good. But he looked at the seventh day and said it was holy. It was the first thing blessed by God in the creation story. Not a thing, but a time, a day, the Sabbath. Heschel goes on to ask this, for where shall the likeness of God be found? There is no quality that space has in common with the essence of God. How else express glory in the presence of eternity if not by the silence of abstaining from noisy acts? Abstaining from noisy acts and sanctifying time. These are key to our Christian religion. And every time we celebrate the Eucharist, in the middle of the Eucharistic prayer, there is something called the memorial acclamation. The one we are using currently says this, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. In another Eucharistic prayer, it is we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory. In both of those memorial acclamations, those are keys, foundational ideas for our faith. And in both of them, you see past, present, and future blurred together. Because when we do that, when we blur time together and say it is all holy, we gesture toward the conquest and the transcendence of time in our tradition. We glorify God when we spend our time on this earth wisely, not necessarily efficiently or expediently, but wisely, in ways that feed our spirit rather than insisting on having time that feeds our bank accounts or our egos or our resumes. I've been thinking a lot about time lately. The time we spend together. And in Jesus' stories, at this point in his ministry, this is often called the farewell discourse. And Jesus' future victory, his glorification in the events of his hour, that glorification is indeed the present reality. In this story we have today, Jesus entrusts his future to God the Father, and he entrusts our future to God the Father. Time has to be holy. It is, after all, the one dimension that we cannot control, and the fact that we cannot control it frustrates us mightily. How often, every day, do you hear someone say, I'd love to do that, but I don't have time. Each of us has all the time there is. We have this moment. As it says in 2 Corinthians, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. In those writings, Paul asks us to accept the grace of God and use those gifts to sanctify time by becoming pure, holy, loving, truthful human beings. In the dimension of time. Time is precious. Rich people can't buy more hours. Scientists can't invent new minutes. And you can't really save time to spend it another day. The present moment is what you have. The most precious gift of human life is not a thing, but time. We glorify God by spending our time in loving others and being present with others. How specifically do we sanctify our time? We stop. We listen. We give the ministry of presence to other people. We are companions to other people. We stop trying to multitask so that we can use every moment efficiently. We detach from technology, at least occasionally, because technology steals the gift of awareness and mindfulness of our time. The irony is that much of our technology was originally invented to save us time, and now it keeps us from appreciating time. We can't get time back. If the house burns down, we can replace the things, but we cannot buy replacements for time lost, time profaned, time unsanctified. Sanctifying time becomes life eternal now. We experience eternity now. As Jesus said, "The hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him." Eternal life is knowing God now. I wonder, how will we sanctify our time this day, this week, this year? Will we stop scrolling through Facebook and actually make a call or a visit to a friend? Will we send a card to someone for no particular reason? Will we stop and listen when we think we really don't have time? Will we turn off the phone when we go to dinner with someone we love instead of constantly checking messages? Will we enjoy leisure time as recreation rather than just mindlessness or competition or another form of accomplishment? Time is precious. We can never get back the time we fail to sanctify. The house is on fire. What will you carry out? Forget the stuff. Be with the ones you love. Relive the moments you have shared with them. Because now is the time to glorify God. Now. Amen.